This is Paul Palooza from Officer.com. I'm joined by Manchester Police Officer Daniel Doherty. How are you doing today, Officer Doherty?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Officer Doherty was shot by Miles Webster on March 21st of 2012 while pursuing him on foot. Webster was sentenced earlier this month to 60 years to life in prison. Officer Doherty, if you can tell us what happened that night on March 21st when you were pursuing him and how that incident unfolded.
Well, on the 21st, I was working a swap on the 4 to 12 shift. I normally work the midnight shift, and about 6:30, some undercover officers were working a control by, and their attention was brought to an individual who jumped out of a car in the middle of traffic at an intersection. It appeared that he was in some type of altercation with the occupants in that vehicle. And when he exited that vehicle, the undercover officers saw what appeared to be a firearm tucked in his waistband. It wasn't seen. It was just appeared to be based on manipulation and the location of this item. So they radioed for uniformed officers to respond in order to make contact with this individual. And in the meantime, these undercover officers were trying to keep an eye on him, giving an update on his location. I happened to be on the east side of the city, and where this location was on the west side. And I was just next to one of the bridges that would bring me to the west side, so I headed over there. And shortly after my arrival into the area, I observed the individual in a in an alleyway, and he's a very distinct hairstyle and clothing. So I tried to sneak up on him as he was walking, which I was able to successfully, and I lost sight of him for a brief moment in between 2 yards. Once I exited my cruiser, knowing that the subject may be armed, I tried to keep my engine block as close to as possible, and I made visual contact with him without him seeing me. And shortly thereafter, I called out the police to show me his hands. He then took off running through yards and alleyways. The chase went on for approximately a mile through yards in neighborhood alleyways. After the chase, I was significantly gained on him. Within 5 feet, we were approaching a corner of Rimmon and Wayne Street, and once the individual was at this corner, I was preparing myself to tackle him because I had gained on him significantly. And just about when I was about to tackle him, the individual spun around very suddenly. And as he was doing so, he was pulling a 357 Glock out of his waistband. And as he was doing that, he was able to rack it. And at this point, there was some vehicles to my right. I tried to put the brakes on and stop myself to get behind these cars, but based on my momentum, speed, and my feet slid out from beneath me, and the individual fired 14 rounds at me. Within 3 to 5 feet, and while I was falling to my back, I felt the first round hit me in my leg. At that point, I was then on my back. I was able to retrieve my firearm, and while I was bringing it up on target, the individual was advancing on me, still shooting downward. I could feel bullets whizzing by me, pieces of cement or pavement all over the place. And once I started to shoot back, the individual fled subtly on Rimmon Street. And as he was running, he was still shooting blindly. 4 of those rounds had gone through a house that I was right next to, missing a civilian's head within inches. At that point, I laid there for approximately 1 to 2 minutes until the undercover officers were able to find me. And at that point, they gave me a life-saving tourniquet to my leg and also located other bullet wounds, five in total on my body. The five were entries, two were exits. Doctors stated that those officers didn't render a tourniquet. Between the internal bleeding and the bleeding from my my thigh, I would have not made the ride to the hospital, which was only two blocks away. I'm here today to talk about it.
Yeah, it sounds like that was the fact that the hospital is so close by, luckily, and that they could get to you quickly and administer the tourniquet. What was the recovery time like after the incident?
Well, the recovery for the first 3 days, I was in a medically induced coma, just based on the severity of the injuries. When I first woke up, I was on a breathing machine that was breathing for me. First waking up, I wasn't sure if I still had my leg or not, or what the extent of the injuries were. And I couldn't stay awake long enough to hear what had happened. But as the days went on, I started to stay awake longer and hear how significant and the severity of the incident was. And the recovery was an extremely hard task. I was in the hospital for just under a month, extensive rehab, which is still ongoing today. I now have a tibia bone that's replaced with a titanium rod and many other metal body parts, metal parts in my stomach to tie off veins and replace some things.
So overall, the rehab is, like you said, it's still going on. It's slow, but it's happening.
Yes, it's happening. It's a very uplifting experience to go from not being able to walk to walking on my own power, barely with a limp. I just recently started to run, which is a very big feat.
And are you looking to return to duty soon?
Yes, the sooner the better. Hopefully within the next 30 to 60 days, I'll be back out there.
Now, the case itself and the trial, how did that unfold? It seemed like it was very quick from, March of last year and December of this March of last year, and then by December of that same year, he was convicted and then sentenced earlier this month of January.
Yep.
Basically, how did that, how much of it were you there for, and how was it when you finally had to take the stand?
Well, it was a very, very quick process. It was pretty much an open and shut case. He was apprehended just one block away within minutes, and the detectives were able to build a very, very solid case. And as far as the trial, I sat through every single minute of it in the front row. I think I testified on the third day out of, there was 6 days of testimony. And it was a very challenging task, but it was one that I felt was a victory, not only because of the verdict and his sentence, but I was able to look him in the eye again, and as soon as I did so, he looked away. So I felt that was a victory for myself and all the other officers in this country and worldwide.
I saw you were joined by your family, at least the day that you testified. How were they with you a lot through the trial? And I guess that, what was that like? I saw that you embraced with someone that was sitting in the front row with you right after you had testified.
Yep. I was sat with my family, parents, as well as my girlfriend. And it was an experience that I don't think I would have gotten through as well as I did without them. It was presumably the hardest time of my life. And and I was able to get through it just with the support and encouragement from them, as well as all the other officers sitting behind me.
So going back to the actual incident, how do you think your training factored in you being able to survive? Of course, you know, having backup come in and help you, and then transport you over to the hospital, that of course was a very big deal. But what role do you think your training played a part in this?
Well, I've said this since the beginning, just after the shooting, that my training was just an instinct. I mean, I don't even remember going for my gun. It was just in my hand. And based on all the repetitions and just muscle memories, muscle memory is a real thing, because I didn't have to think about it. It just happened. A lot of my superior officers have said that, you know, if I wasn't able to fire back, he was advancing on me, and he eventually would have had that kill shot to the head. And me shooting back scared him off. I mean, it was one of those 14 rounds was meant for my head, because it was one of those bullets hit the front of my gun, the barrel. The state lab was able to determine that was the striation was from a bullet from his gun, and that was meant for my face.
Wow. And then I guess the advice to other officers that find themselves recovering from injuries, be it as serious as yours or even less serious, what advice would you give them in battling back to be able to be on the job again?
I've often heard a term thrown out there, fight or flight, and I'm a very true believer in that. I could have very easily have laid there and not fought back because of the pain, but because of the training, I was able to. So my advice would be, training is a very essential part to this job, and sometimes we all look at each other and ask, you know, I don't understand this piece of training, or I don't feel this is important, but I have a new look on it, and train as though it's real, and it's a very important part of the job.
Thank you for joining us today, Officer Doherty. Good luck in your recovery, and we hope you're back on the job soon.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.